sure if they're not. I kind of thought, you know, I announced that I was going to preach about gossip today. And just like Dad said, half the congregation will be gone. Now, that's a joke. And we joke here. And if you don't like joking, you're going to have to get over it, because we're going to joke and we're going to have fun. But no, they are legitimately sick, and we need to pray for them. And whatever type of week that you just got out of, I'm going to ask you to commit that to God right now, because God wants to help you. God's here to meet you right where you're at. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, as they've stood, God, in your house, Lord, I thank you that you're standing for them, God, in heaven right now. And Lord, I thank you that you are helping them with everything that concerns them. For every person, Lord, that's out sick today, God, I ask that you would heal their body. Lord, I thank you for Paris Christian Center. God, I thank you for everything that you're doing out of this church. Lord, I thank you that you and you alone have made us great. God, right now, I thank you for the Manna Center. God, that was not my idea, God, and because of that, Lord, I just speak right now, God, that it's paid for 100%. God, I ask that you would send funds, Lord, from the north and the east and the south and the west. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to do a supernatural, abundant thing, God, in this place right now, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am preaching a series of messages. This is the second series that I've preached this year, and the first series was Getting Well, and the second series that I have been on, this is week three, Being Better Believers, and number three is named Gossiping. Gossiping. Now, I know that this is not your run-of-the-mill thing. Very seldom do you come in and have a Southern Belle behind the pulpit, and do we talk about everyday things, but I like to preach where we all live. And I will say this, and I won't back up from it, everybody gossips to a degree. Now, you take a person like me, I'll gossip way more than Sister Millie. Now, Mom, do you gossip at times? At times, but I can tell you it is very, very seldom. But I can say that every person to a degree has issues at times with gossip. And I can preach it because at times I have been the worst gossip. At times I have been on the receiving end of it. And any which way that you spin it, gossip is wrong. And it hurts people. And we are responsible for how we treat people. The word says that you will give an account for every idle word that you've spoken. So it's my job to minister on it, and I'm excited about it. Let's turn now to Genesis chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. I've started putting the sermon notes in the bulletin because people like to refer back to it. And I like to refer back to it. Now, I personally think that gossip was birthed in the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to show you how. Gossip is intended to hurt people. Gossip is intended to stir the pot. Gossip is intended to make people question themselves, other people. Gossip is a very dangerous thing to do because gossip, one of the main things that it does is it divides. Now, what is gossip? Gossip is talking about other people in a nutshell. And I, like I said, I believe that gossip was formed and birthed in the Garden of Eden with Satan and with Adam and Eve. And so in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, it says, "Now the serpent," we're talking about Satan, "was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made." And I want to tell you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Satan, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And Satan is not different than he was back then. And what I mean by that is this right here. He is still so crafty. He is still so crafty. The devil will talk you into doing something, and then he'll condemn you for it and make you feel bad about it. And so the word says that the serpent was more crafty. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Now, if you notice a gossip, they're always, "Hey, did you hear what they said? Now, did they really say what I think that they said? Have you ever, anybody ever tell you that? Let's say we're on the job. Let's say Sally Sue's the boss. And I go over here and I'm talking to my coworker and I'm saying, can you believe that Sally Sue said that? She doesn't even do the same job that we do. Did Sally Sue really say what I just think that she said? Here's the devil. Did God really say not to eat that fruit? Now, what does that do to Eve? Well, if you're like most women, we're sitting there and we like to overthink everything. So Eve starts going, well, and there we have it. So gossip is always going to make you doubt another person. Now, gossip is never a full truth. Sometimes it's not a 100% truth at all. Sometimes there's no truth in it at all. Amen? So, gossip right here, it says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. Verse 4, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And right there was the birth of gossip. Right there. So Satan says, well, did God really say that to you? And Eve goes, well, yeah, he really did. And they begin to have a conversation. And then Satan says, well, he said that because the moment you do, you'll be just like him and you'll be just as good as him. You won't need him. You'll be just like him. You'll be able to see everything that he can see. You'll be just the same as he is. And that's how gossip starts. One conversation. And it says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. You know, when you eat gossip, it's good for a season. Let's preach from where we live. The word says that gossip is like choice morsels. Have you ever ate a good piece of chocolate? You're like, I got to eat some more of that. Eat some more. That's how gossip is for a season. But there's a turning point in gossip. Well, it will turn on you because, see, you will give an account for every idle word that you speak. The word says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, would you just go up to Sally Sue and start talking bad about yourself? Usually not. So when the word says you need to act in love, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. If you're talking about your neighbor all the time, you're not really being loving. It's like talking about your own self. This is how churches, this is how denominations, birth new denominations, this is how churches split. This is how lots of things happen with people, is people like to talk smack, right? Now, this is Arkansas. And not only is it Arkansas, but this is Paris, Arkansas. So if you don't like slang terms like smack, well, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to have a hard time living here. But people like to talk about others, and it's not right, and it's not profitable. And there is a time where it will turn, and it will go, turn around, and it will come right back at you because there's a part of judging when you're gossiping. And the word says, as we learned last week, with whatever measure that you measure that out, it's coming back. It's coming back in by the bushels. I used to love to, I'm going to just be very transparent with you. I used to love to gossip. Before I became a pastor, I loved to gossip because it was fun. Why? Because it got all the attention off of myself. I mean, I used to think, this is great. I feel so much better about myself because I've been talking about Sally Sue this whole time and she's awful and I'm great. And I used to enjoy it. I literally cringe now because here's what I know. I have never been more gossiped about, more judged, more criticized, more ridiculed than when I became a pastor. And what I know is what it's like to hurt. I know what it's like to want to kill yourself. I know what it's like to be in a state of depression that you think you can never get out of. I know what it's like to be lonely. See, there's things that I know now that I did not know before, and gossip hurts people. And I know what it's like to be gossiped about. I've heard things about myself I didn't even know. One time somebody told me the reason I got divorced, and I thought, wow, I didn't even know that. Wow, that's amazing. But see, gossip hurts people. Gossip hurts people, and it's not going to do us any good. Gossip was birthed in the Garden of Eden by Satan. Satan put doubt in their mind through gossip and changed the course of all mankind. All mankind. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to begin at 16 through 19. How many of you would like to know the true heart of who God is? I'm going to give you a verse. Because there's characteristics about God and what he does like, and there's characteristics about God that he hates. And we don't look at God as a God that hates, but there are some things that God detests. There are things that are an abomination. There are things that can grieve the Holy Spirit. And there are things that God literally hates. And very few times in the Bible will you see the word hate, but it is in here. And here's one of them. There are six things the Lord hates. And seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Verse 19, a false witness who pours out lies. Now we're getting into the part about gossip. And a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. A false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Now, I know that I'm not the only smart aleck in the congregation today. How many of you would say, I'm kind of a smart aleck? Well, everybody's hand should be up except for Brother Charles. He's sleeping. But everybody has got a two-year-old inside of them that likes to show out and have a fit, and everybody is a smart aleck. Because you get them at just the right situation, and they're going to have a little... I think smart aleck people are the best because they got a sense of humor and they're kind of quirky. Yeah. And most of you I've known for a while now, so we're all smart alecks, I hate to tell you. But the smart alecks in the group, they would say this, because I just read, a false witness who pours out lies. Every smart aleck that would hear this would say, well, what if what I'm saying isn't false? Right? That's what I would say. I'd say, well, that's great. The Bible says a false witness, but what if what I'm saying is true? I get to still say it. Well, no, you don't. And I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to show you why. Smart Alex would say, first of all, Satan wants you to bear false witness. He wants you to do that. He would like to cause division between you and your brethren, you and your family, you and your home. He would do anything to destroy your home, divide, or destroy the church. You know how many times the devil has tried to split churches? Even in a small town like this, I can name off church splits, one right after the other. Why? Because people can't get along. Why? Because they don't know how to shut up. That's why.
Amen.
Now, I'm talking very blunt, but the reason why people are acting out and acting stuff is because everybody gets a little ribbon at the end of everything that they do, and that is not good for people. Because when you win, you win. And when you lose, you lose. And when you lose, what you don't need is another ribbon to put up in the closet. What you need is you need to say, you know what, I didn't win this time. How can I start winning? And how we can start winning in our life, the first thing is to just shut up. And very few people can do it, and I have not mastered that. But people need to learn the art, and I believe it is an absolute art, but we need to learn the art of just shutting up. How do quarrels start? See, the Word tells us. How does division start? The Word tells us. A lot of it starts out of gossip. A lot of it starts with lies. A lot of it starts with, oh, well, I don't agree with you. Let me tell you something. You don't have to agree with everything about your brother and sister. You don't have to agree with everything that your pastor does. You don't have to agree with everything Brother Angelo does. You don't have to agree with that. What I can tell you is this right here, you won't agree with everything that everybody's doing. And since when was your opinion so important? Because I can look back in my own life and I can see some things that I don't agree with about myself. So my point is, we've all got our hands full with ourselves. We don't have time nor the intelligence to even begin to start on somebody else. So there's things that God hates. There's things that he detests. And a false witness who pours out lies and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Smart Alex would say, well, Pastor, what if it's not false? Here's some questions that I want to ask you before we open our mouths and we begin to speak about another person. Here's what we need to ask. How much of what you heard is true? Would I offend anybody if I took this jacket off? I am a hot-blooded Italian woman, and it just gets hot up here sometimes. You got like a light show going, and it just gets so hot. There's only so much of that I can handle. And I don't know if maybe I'm feeling the heat from preaching this too, because I have to preach it to myself. I've been the worst gossip at times. And only when I felt the aftermath in my own life about being gossiped about did I think about changing. But gossip is an awful thing. How much of what you hear is true? I had somebody, I cannot tell you how many times, and I don't know why this happens when you're a pastor, but I have had so many times where people have messaged me either tattling or just wanting to flat out gossip about another person. But a couple weeks ago, I had somebody message me just wanting to point out what they thought was true. Now, the old Kelly would have been all over that. I would have been like, oh, yeah. Let's talk about it. I want every detail. The moment I read it, I was irritated. Not at the person being talked about, but at the person doing it. Because you know what? People that live in glass houses, they darn sure shouldn't be throwing stones. Because let me tell you something. That stuff is going to come around, and it's going to be right up in your lap. And the Word talks about getting fire in your own lap from our stupid things that we say, the stupid things that we do. And it irritated me. And what I really wanted to say was this right here. You're saying this about this person. Were you there when that supposedly happened? Were you there? Did you see it happening? We want to talk about Sally Sue's sin. Let's talk about it. Were you in that room when that happened? Were you there? Did you see it with your own eyes? You know what I've learned? Even most of what I see, I don't even believe it. You see all these people on Facebook, and they all look like they're happy, family, married, and stuff. Then the next thing you know, they're getting a divorce. Well, you know what that tells you? Not everything is what it looks like. Now, if I'm going to preach, I'll preach it out of my own life. I'll preach it out of anything that I can preach it out of. Because you know what? Nobody needs to sit through another sermon that they don't understand. You either need to get a pastor that you can understand. That's why I preach the way I preach. Because people need to understand what life is. You need to understand why you don't need to cuss somebody out in the grocery store. There's just certain things you need to be able to understand about life and about Christian living. But how much of what you heard is true? How much of what you say or repeat is true? How much did you add to the story when you heard it and you retold it? Gossip is never, never the entire truth. Gossip is never the entire truth. It might be a part of the truth or a truth out of context. A lot of times gossip is a truth out of context. It's a truth out of context. Somebody brought something up that happened over a year and a half ago about a newspaper article recently. And it offended me because I thought, well, that was taken out of context. Now, if it happens in my life, I'm going to preach it. There are things about people that if you talk in a certain way about a certain situation in their life and you take it out of context, you're going to make that person look bad. Does that mean that that person is bad? No, it means that you took a detail out of their life and you pulled it and you talked about that part and not the whole truth. And you begin to defame that person. See, there's a reckoning going to happen on Judgment Day for every single idle word that we say. There's a reckoning going to happen on Judgment Day for everything that we did to hurt other people. There is a reckoning happening. And it's for all of us. You know how many people commit suicide over something that someone said about them? It's awful. It's absolutely awful. There have been times where I have literally thought in my head, I would rather die than continue this. Why am I saying that? Because I want you to understand, first of all, that I'm a person. I'm not some untouchable person. We all put our pants on the very same way. We need to realize that the people that we deal with, the people in our families, the people in our church, the people on our job, they're people. You don't even have to like them all. Got news for you. You're not going to like them all. But it doesn't give us the right to talk bad about another person. Why? Because that's only going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt them, and it's going to hurt your cause. Because see, if you're really a Christian, your goal should be to take as many people with you to heaven as you can. What did Jesus do when he heard bad things about other people? Well, I talked about it in a couple of messages ago when we talked about the woman that was caught in the actual act of adultery. You think that shocked him? No, it didn't shock him. All he said was, okay, yeah, she was caught in the middle of adultery. What have y'all been doing? See, it's very easy to talk about others because when we're talking about others, we don't have to talk about our miserable life. How many of you at times, you've had a miserable go? Amen. I'm going to give you a little nugget. And the nugget is this right here. And this is something that I have learned out of my own life. A lot of miserable moments that I have had, Michelle, are from things that I sowed. And in my most miserable moments, when I got on my knees and I prayed to God to give me some relief, he said, Kelly, you're experiencing this because of the wicked stuff that you sowed into other people's life. See, sometimes we're praying to God to get us out of a storm. He ain't going to get us in because we're reaping what we sowed. Now, this may be getting a little too real, but we're going to get down to the meat of the subject, and the meat of the subject is this right here. You can't get away with gossiping about other people, as fun as it could be. You're never going to get away with that. Why? Because, see, the moment that whatever's in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and there's something to be said about people that only want to talk about others. What does that tell you about them? They're unhappy with themselves. They're miserable with themselves. And we can't live like that. It's unproductive. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to begin to read at verse 18. You say, well, Pastor, what should I do? I'm going to tell you what you should do. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Can you remember back to words that were said to you, over you, or about you that hurt really, really bad? Can we all remember some words? What did they do? They pierced you. So here's what goes on with people, whether they're saved or whether they're unsaved. Doesn't matter. I'm talking about humanity altogether. What we have is we have injured people walking around on the face of the earth. They've had words spoken over them. You know, if God can speak the world into existence, how powerful are our words? They're powerful. The Bible tells us that when he says the power of life and death is just in your tongue. The word says, now you can declare a thing and see it happen. So it says here, the words of the reckless pierce like swords. Have you noticed how reckless the world has become? Reckless. Absolutely reckless. And the most reckless thing, I think, that has caused it is social media. Do you know how many, statistically, how many people have killed themselves over something that took place on social media? Do you know how many teenagers have taken their own life because of bullying on social media? People don't have the guts to just say something to someone's face anymore. Man, I remember back in the early days of the ministry, my dad was straight up mafia. And good for him. I wish I had a little bit of more of that up in me. Because let me tell you something. If he heard somebody had said something about him, he would just go right to him and knock on the door and ask him what the problem was. There's been a lot of days I thought, I wish I had an ounce of what he has, because I'm a weenie a lot of times. Let me tell you something. If he heard, I remember a certain story. There was something with a girl, and she wasn't all there. She had some developmental problems, and there was some people, there was some men doing something, not in the church, but in the town, and they were doing something to this girl. You paid him a visit, didn't you? You didn't waste your time talking behind their back, did you? You went right to them, and you told them, you'll never do it again. We need to be more like that. If you really want to say something about somebody, why don't you, here, let me just give you a little rule of humanity. If you wouldn't say it in their presence, don't say it in their absence.
That's right.
If you would not say it in their presence, don't say it in their absence. Why? Because most people are going to find out what you said about them. And when they find out, whoever repeated it to them, they're going to ad lib just on what you said. And look here, you're going to be going, no, I didn't say that. Look here, you're going to get what you get, because the moment you talk about another person, whoever heard it, they're going to add to it, and you're going to look even worse than what you said. That's why we shouldn't gossip. That's why we shouldn't gossip. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, reckless words pierce like a sword. We've got a lot of people down here on planet Earth, and they're bruised, they're tormented, they're hurting over words that were spoken. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Yeah, you can talk about whoever. Anybody can talk about somebody. I dare you to begin to try to heal somebody with your words. People say, I want to make a difference in life. Start it with your mouth. You really want to make a difference? The next five people that come to you that are broken, you need to realize that they were broken because somebody said something nasty about them. Maybe it was true. Maybe it wasn't true. Maybe it was the half-truth. Maybe it was had a little strand of truth in there. Try to talk them out of hating themselves. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Can you bring healing to someone else's life? Can you do that? Because if you can, that's evidence that you serve and cohabitate with a loving, precious God that is living inside of you, that you are allowing yourself to be a vessel that he can use to heal somebody else, that you can heal someone else. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. There is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. You ever notice how much trouble a gossip has all the time? Constant trouble. Constant. Why? Because they are constantly reaping what they sow. Constantly. You say, well, Pastor Kelly, I'm just in a season in my life where I'm being talked about right now. Look here. I'm getting out of a season of that in my life. Probably won't be out of it for very long because people like to talk about pastors. And then you make yourself a woman pastor and they really like to talk about you. If you're half attracted, then they really, really like to talk about you. Well, guess what? Here's what I tell you. Let them talk. Let them talk. Because the truth will always outlive a lie. And we spend too much time defending ourselves. It will come to a point in your life where you just have to step back and you just have to say, you know what, God, you said you would be my vindicator. You said that you would judge. I'm going to let you do it. I'm tired of defending myself against gossip. And you just leave it at that. People are going to talk, and you know what? Don't be one of them. Don't be one of them. Don't hurt people and kill them off. You know, Christians are really bad about killing off their own. Something bad will happen to somebody in the church, and all the religious people will be like, well, you know why that happened to them? They were out at the sports club last Saturday night. That's why that happened. You know that God doesn't want us in a despicable place like that. No, we need to stop trying to figure out why stuff's happening to people and just mind our own business. Because you know what? We don't even know the half of what's going on with others. We don't know why they're going through what they're going through. But we sure know that we could help them if we wanted to. How can we help them? Be the one person that doesn't gossip about them. There's a lady, and I got reacquainted with her from my childhood, and her name was Reba. She lives in this town. She's an amazing, amazing woman. Funny little side story. I've always been awful because my mom used to take me, and Reba used to do our hair, right? Yes. Reba had a tanning booth, okay? I've always been super curious about everything. Dad said, you used to go with me on visits, and the first thing you'd say is, I need to go to the bathroom, and you'd want to get all up in those people's bathrooms and investigate. I'm nosy. And the one thing that you never told me, you never said, don't do that, because it was like the devil was in that part of my life. And if you said don't, that meant do to me. And Reba and Mom both said, Kelly, do not open that door. I didn't know what a tanning booth was. I didn't know anything about what that was. I was probably 5 or 6. I was very small. And I thought, I don't care what they said. My ears heard do it. I flung that door open. And I tell you, it looked like there was an 80-year-old naked man up in there. And I had never seen nothing like what he had. And I was like, I feel like I will never be the same after that. I think I started listening just a little bit better because I was like, I don't ever want to see that again. Ooh. I don't know who was more horrified, Reba or my mom or the old man. He did not come out till we were gone. I have the pleasure of seeing Reba once a week. And about a couple months ago, I was so heavy-hearted because I was hearing whispers of gossip about me. And I went to knock on her door. And let me tell you, God will give you divine appointments, and He will put people in your life to bring healing. You know, your words can be a healing balm to somebody. Because, see, people already feel bad about themselves. And I opened that door, and Reba, I don't know how old she is, but she just got married. And I think that's great. I love seeing people in love, and I love seeing people happy.
Yes, amen.
And married. She flung that door open, and right when she flung it open, I tell you what, the presence of God just came right down, and I said, Reba, I need you to not just pray for me. I need you to put your hands on me and pray this off of me. I said, because right now I'm going through something and just making me so miserable. By golly, she put her hands on me, and she began to pray in tongues. She began to pray. And Michelle, that began to come up off of me. See, you're going to either help somebody or you're going to just keep on kicking them when they're down. And that's your decision. But when you keep kicking them and they're down, you're going to be down and somebody's going to be kicking you at some point. And you're going to be asking God, well, God, what did I do? Don't ask them stupid questions to God. You know what you did. Right? We know what we do. We know. So, the Lord, no harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in men who are truthful. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself. I don't care if you know something that's true about somebody. Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself. But the heart of fools blurts out falling. There's some people, they want to blurt out every dirty thing they hear about another person. Why? Because they're dirty themselves. That's why. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 26. We're going to look at verse 20 through 23. Without wood, a fire goes out. Another translation says, where there is no wood, the fire burns out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. You know, a lot of quarrels and arguments came from gossip. A lot of arguing comes from talking bad about other people or talking about them just in general. Have you ever talked about somebody and you thought, I wish I could take that back because now I'm in a mess? I have. I won't lie to you and tell you I haven't. But there comes a point where if you will commit that situation to God, He will help you out of it. The words, without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Do you want a quarrel to die down? Stop adding to it. How do you add to it? With your words. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. See, it's like a spoon. You're either going to stir the pot or you're going to stop stirring. There's people, they should be professional pot stirrers because that's all they do. Don't be one of them. You're going to, on an average person is going to hear more bad things about people than they hear good things. Why? Because it's funner to talk bad about people than it is to talk good about them. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. In another translation of this same verse, it says this, "There is nothing so delicious as the taste of gossip. It melts in your mouth." The CEV version of Proverbs chapter 26, verse 22, the CEV version says, "There is nothing so delicious as the taste of gossip. It melts in your mouth." Look here. It melts in your mouth, and you're going to burn in hell if you keep it up. No, I'm not a fire and brimstone preacher, but I am a reality preacher. Verse 23, "Like a coating of glaze over earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart." This is describing a person that loves to talk about others, that loves to start quarrels, that loves to keep them going. Look here, where there is no fire, where there is no wood, the fire will go out. Where there is no gossip, the quarrel will die down. You want to be a peacemaker? Be a peacemaker. Look at Matthew and look at the Beatitudes. There's a real person behind all of the gossip. Remember that. And you're responsible for how you treat other people. We will all give an account for every idle word that we say. Now I'll tell you a funny thing about myself. There are certain times and seasons in people's lives where they've just had enough. They've just had enough. And when they are in that season, many times they are not at their best. How can I say that? Because I'm getting out of a season like that. Around that same time that I talked to Reba and that she laid her hands on me and prayed for me, there was this person in town, a Walmart associate. I don't even know this person. It's not my favorite one, Kim. Kim, if you're watching, it's not you, and I love you. But there's nothing worse than having someone talk about you that you don't even know. I'm like, who are you? And I heard this person trickle down to me that they were talking about me. Well, Aunt Patty, I guess that day I did have a little bit of Puerto Rican and Italian in me because I had had enough of it. Nobody told me when you became a pastor, you gave up the right to have an opinion. You gave up the right to have any type of privacy to anything. Guess what? I had enough of it. There are times in your life where you've just had enough. And let me tell you something, and I mean this as humbly as I could ever tell you anything. Be careful in those seasons. Be careful in those seasons because you're out of character in those seasons. You're out of character in those seasons because you are weary and you have just had enough and you're going to act out of character. Well, I heard it and immediately that crazy switch that every woman has clicked on. Now, my dad always says, and he raised four girls, if you put a woman in the nut zone, you deserve what you're going to get. How many of you husbands, you know what the nut zone is? Jim's not raising his hand. He's trying to make Jennifer look good. I'll tell her after service that you did not raise your hand. But I'm sure he knows. But anyways, I said, "Frank, what do you think I should do?" He goes, "Kelly, honey, I just think you should just keep your mouth shut." Yeah, I ain't going to do that. When I asked you what I thought you thought I should do, what I was really wanting you to say is, I think you should tell them off right in this instant. That's what the answer I was looking for. I said, "Well, yeah, that ain't going to work." I have had enough. Do you see me? Look at me, Frank. Enough. I've had it. This is over. This part of this crap, this is over. I picked up that phone, and I just started messaging that guy on Messenger. And here's what I said. I don't know who you are, but you definitely know who I am. And I would like to know why you are so interested in my life. And I left it at that. And I thought that was going to make me feel better. Barbie, it didn't. Well, the Lord began to speak with me. But you know, sometimes you've had enough of people. And you've had enough of their smack talk. Right, Lori? You get enough of it. I thought, everybody's expecting me to be this perfect pastor. If I hear one more bad thing about myself, I'm just going to flip out. And I did. Well, about 2 weeks later, I had another test. His wife tried to message me. And you know how in Messenger you can kind of see what they're starting to say, and then if you don't open it, you don't see the rest? Well, that's what happened. His wife, she started messaging me the excuse of why he was so interested in my life, which, look here, there was not a good enough excuse on God's green earth for him to want to know anything about me. I don't even know who he is. But now every time I go into Walmart, he flat out dodges me, and I would too if I was him, because he don't know what's coming next. I don't either, to be real with you. Then his wife messages me. I'm sorry if we upset you. The reason I was so interested is because I used to know you when you were little. I thought, well, I am almost 40 now. I so wanted to open that message up and give her a piece of my mind. But that was on a better pastor day for me. And I said, God, I'm going to let that one slide. I'm going to let that one go. Because, Lord, they ain't nothing but a bunch of gossips. Don't be a gossip. If you're being gossiped about, ask God to help you to give other people grace. Give them grace. You know how many people have come through my food line and I know they've said something bad about me? Look here. God'll use me to bless your butt if you want to keep on talking. Amen. I had a guy wanting to talk bad about me for being a woman and ministering at the jail. Look here. God fixed that right on up. You can't talk about other people. You cannot talk about other people. But if you get in a season where you're having a lot of people talk at you, you best look back and you ask God, Lord, how many people did I talk about to reap this? How many people did I hurt with my mouth? Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 29 through 32. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Is what you're saying helpful to others? Is it going to build them up? It'll take more work for you to build someone up than it will to tear them down. But how much work did Christ put into your salvation? How many lashes did he get? How much ridicule did he have to receive? How much dirty sin did he have to become? When we want to tear someone down, we need to stop and we need to build them up. We need to build them up. We used to do recovery. There was a very well-known criminal celebrity that used to come to the meetings. I'm trying to look for a politically correct word to say that. And I loved this person. I thought they were the best. And one night this person... We were all going home. We were in the Bain Center, and that person walked out, and somebody else said, Pastor Kelly, do you not know who that is? I said, no. And they began to tell me, and I said, I don't even want to know, because, see, that person is not even the same. that person is not even the same person anymore. You know? So many times we want to gossip about how somebody used to be, who they used to be. And what I'd ask you is to look at your own life. Has God changed you? Has He changed you? Well, yeah, He has. I can look at everybody's life in here and see a noticeable change. God has changed us from glory to glory. He has helped us. He has loved us when we didn't deserve it. It don't matter who somebody used to be. It don't matter what they used to do. How do you think anybody ever gets better? People accept them and say, okay, this is who you are now. I'm going to accept that. And I'm going to believe in what you're saying. Ephesians chapter 4. Accept only for what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. See, if we're gossiping, whoever's listening to that, it's not benefiting them. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander. That's really what gossip is slandering another person, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Last place for me this morning, let's turn to Titus chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 1. When I read this last night, my little eyes started tearing up, because you can't read this passage that we're about to read without realizing how much God really loves you. I said, Frank, I want to read this to you tonight. I don't think I've ever read this quite like it is today. And it says this: remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. In verse 3, this is the part that if you're any type of Christian, this will grab a hold of you so much, and it will put you back in a place that you really need to be in for God. Verse 3, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. See, at one time, at one point in time, we were all just as bad as what we're talking about the last person. All kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hating and hated by one another. But when the kindness and love of our God, our Savior, appeared. See, can you remember back to when you had all them problems? Can you remember back to when you felt so bad about yourself? Can you remember back to that time in your life that you didn't think you could ever get up out of? Can you remember that depression? Can you remember that thing? See, at one time we were all in a place we did not want to be. But when the kindness and love of our God and our Savior showed up, do you remember when He showed up in your life? I remember when He showed up in mine. I remember He's done it over and over. He saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of His mercy. He didn't save you because you had done enough to be good enough. He saved you because of how merciful that He is. He saved you because of how good that He is. Can you be merciful to others? Can you be gracious to others? Can you be humble to others? Can you heal other people with your words? Can you? Anybody can gossip. Anybody can tear someone down. Anybody can make another person look bad to make themselves look better. Anybody can do that. Hardly anyone can do the opposite. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when He renewed you? Do you remember when you felt dirty and He began to wash up your life? Do you remember when you felt so bad about yourself and He said, look here, you're not bad at all. Come on, let's go get you cleaned up. See, do you remember that? What does gossip do? It throws dirt on people. That's what it does. Christians shouldn't be doing this. Nobody should, but let's stop talking about the sinners. Let's talk about the Christians. We ain't going to be able to get them saved if we keep it up, right? He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. Do you remember when you were reborn? Do you remember when you got born again? And renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, see, he doesn't have to justify you with anything else but his grace, because his grace is sufficient for whatever you're going through. We might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Look here. Whatever you really want to say about another person, it's pretty well useless. In the big realm of it, why are we preaching about this today? Well, because quite frankly, we all need a piece of this pie. If you can look in your life and you can see where you can be better at this, then that word that was just planted, it's going to grow. It'll grow. It'll change your life. Just talking nice to someone, just healing someone with your words will change the course many times for them. Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. God, I don't think that I've left anything unsaid. God, I thank you that it was planted today. God, I thank you that it's growing right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every part of division, God, that gossip has done in the hearts of your people here tonight, God, I thank you right now that you're putting an end to that right now. God, for every ounce of gossip, every ounce of things that we know about others, Lord, he who covereth sins, God, help us to cover people. Help us to act in love. Love covers a multitude of sins and transgressions, God, because, see, that's what you did for us. Lord, help us to be that way also. Lord, I thank you right now that we're going to see things change because, God, we've changed in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, there's lots of...